This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Beat me up on the mamas of all mama shit.
Hey, I'm looking through my telescope and I see a mothership. Is that you? Beam me up.
Hey, D.A., I'm thirsty, man. Can you beam me up for a cold one?
Hey, D.A., what's going on, baby? Stop me off and beam me up.
D.A., what's the silly? Oh, permission to get in that mothership.
Is my window seat still available? Beam me up.
What's going on, D.A.? Hey, man, I need you to do me a huge favor. My coworker's a jerk. So just beam me up, man. Get beamed up. Everyone else has. It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
And a happy Wednesday to you, everybody. We come to you live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. Appreciate you being with us. Major League Baseball has handed down its suspensions after the base brawl the other day between Bryce Harper and the San Francisco Giants. They're all over it on MLB Network and MLB Network's MLB Tonight and NHL Network's NHL Tonight happen throughout the year. Of course, the NHL Stanley Cup Final is here. Plus, MLB Network will feature the Yankees and Blue Jays tomorrow at 7 p.m. Eastern Time. From MLB Network is host Robert Flores. Good morning, Robert. How you doing?
D.A., how you doing, man?
I'm doing tremendous, man. Thanks so much for joining us. When it comes to the suspensions baseball handed down, do you think they got it right?
No, I think they were a little light on Hunter Strickland. I mean, look, if you're just going apples to apples, I mean, if the Nationals are forced to be without Bryce Harper for four games and for Hunter Strickland for six games, the Giants will say, oh, yeah, we could do without Hunter Strickland, I guess, for six games. I mean, he's a decent reliever, but Bryce Harper is a transcendent player. He's arguably the best player in Major League Baseball. So I think that they were a little low on Hunter Strickland's punishment. I would have liked to seen somewhere in the neighborhood of 10 games. That's just how egregious and absurd and ridiculous I thought his actions were.
Yeah, on that point, how ridiculous and how absurd is it to carry over retribution from 3 years ago?
Yeah. Did you ever you've seen Blues Brothers, correct?
Of course,
John Belushi,
yeah.
Dan Aykroyd.
Yeah.
Hunter Strickland was basically the Carrie Fisher character.
And he just
holding this grudge, just acting like a bitter ex, you know, and holding it for all these years. I mean, you just look at the actions of his teammates, Buster Posey and the other players in the infield. I mean, when this happened, Buster Posey stands up and just gives a little, not this, you know, and it's just, when you look at the Giants, I mean, they're already a bad team. They're one of the biggest disappointments in 2017. Mad Bum's out there like Evel Knievel, getting himself hurt. And then you've got this guy who takes it upon himself to, how did this help the team? You know, I just didn't get that at all. And by the way, Hunter Strickland still has not gotten out Bryce Harper.
Which, yes, is the ultimate punchline here. Robert Flores, MLB Network, joining us here on the show. And there was some critique of Buster Posey being a team leader, being a captain, not going out there and just kind of standing behind home plate. Personally, because as you mentioned, this seemed utterly ridiculous, I didn't blame him. Do you think that Posey, though, because of his leadership position, has to defend a teammate no matter what?
Well, look, I mean, if Buster Posey is somehow injured and is on the shelf for, say, a week or 2 weeks, then you can just totally write the season off. There's no way. I mean, I would put their chances at coming back and getting in playoff contention at this point at, say, 15-20%. If Posey goes on the shelf, then it's 0.0. So I don't have a problem with him deciding to stay out of the fray. Now, maybe if you're splitting hairs, you can say, okay, he's got to grab somebody and he's got to say, look, I'm grabbing you here and we're going to look like we're dancing for a little bit. So that, I guess you could make the argument. But look, you had Jeff Samardzija, a big dude, running out of the dugout, you know, looking like he's going to spear someone like Roman Reigns and knocking his own teammate out, you know, putting big Michael Morse on the ground there. So there's a lot of bodies flying around. There was a lot of hair. It looked like a Motley Crue video there at one point. So I don't have a problem with him just staying out of the fray.
Robert Flores, MLB Network, NHL Network as well. What's your favorite 80s hair band?
Who? Probably White Snake.
Okay, nice.
Yeah, you know, the whole Tawny Kitaen video.
Yeah, writhing, writhing on a sports car.
That's a very, very good good description, writhing. We don't. I don't use that word, that verb enough during the course of my broadcast. So let's see if I can work that in.
Yeah, we'll be looking for that on MLB Network coming up here on MLB Tonight. So with MLB, you know, and records, we are always so drawn to them, and yet here's Albert Pujols on the doorstep of 600, and I think a mm-hmm. lot of people are not taking note of it. We open up the show talking about why. Do you feel like there's a lack of interest where there used to be an interest of cracking 600, and why do you think that is?
Well, I think some of it has to do with, you know, Albert Pujols is certainly not the player that he was in his prime, and there's nothing wrong with that. That happens, I mean, and that's just nature. Another part of it is I'm wondering if we're almost becoming a little desensitized to the home run itself, because there are so many home runs hit. I'm wondering if maybe it's lost a little bit of its luster or its wow factor. Another thing is that, you know, the Angels aren't a very good team right now. So I think they get lost a little bit, or this is getting lost a little bit nationally. But, you know, make no mistake. Look, what he has done is remarkable. He's got a great career. He's probably going to be definitely he's a Hall of Famer. And look, as an Astros fan, what he did to that pitch from Brad Lidge in 2005, I mean, I will never, ever, 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 ever forget that home run. Granted, the Astros came back and won the series, but that, for me, I'll always remember Albert Pujols for that.
An annihilation for the ages, what he did to that pitch. Do you think it's also a carryover from the PED era where we had guys like A-Rod and Bonds mm-hmm. and Sammy Sosa hit 600, and so the magic of 600 isn't what it used to be?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's fair. I think that, unfortunately, there is a stigma that still sort of resonates with fans. You know, when it comes to home runs and records, you know, I'm sure that there's some fans that say, oh, well, come on, it's those guys are all juiced, it's tainted. So, you know, that's just an unfortunate sort of byproduct of what that era left, what we're now left with, which is a shame, because I think it sort of it definitely diminishes the accomplishment and the hard work that goes into I was at spring training in Arizona at the Angels camp, and to see Albert Pujols, I mean, everyone else is doing their work in the cage, out in the field, and he's working with a trainer. And they're just doing exercises from first to second base, and he didn't look like he could move at all. So I just for him to kind of drag himself out of the field, more often than not in a DH position, but still to see what the work that is required for him at this stage of his career to get out there, you got to kind of tip the cap to him.
Robert Flores, MLB Network, a man of many talents. Also, you see him on the NHL Network's NHL Tonight. And so since we're in the Stanley Cup Final, I want to ask you about this Penguins and Preds series. Game one, the Penguins didn't play very well and yet pull out a victory. Do you feel like game two is crucial for the Predators to at least get a split? Or until we have a road team win, a series doesn't really start? That's the old adage.
Yeah, I kind of think it's that. Look, would the Predators love to get a split and win game two? Obviously, yes. But I don't think that if they don't win tonight for game two, I don't think the series is over. They play with such enthusiasm and passion and speed at their barn in Nashville. So I'm interested to see obviously what they do tonight, but what the series looks like once it moves to Nashville. I don't think this series is over, just like I didn't think game one was over when the Penguins jumped out to a 3-0 lead. I think that this series, it's going to be fast paced. It's going to be up and down. And I think we're going to see games like game one than not in this series.
Do you think that might have advantage Preds on it because the Penguins have played so much hockey and played so deep into postseasons and obviously went all the way to the Stanley Cup final and won a championship last year that maybe they're a little bit more heavy-legged, maybe they're a little bit more fatigued? Does that, if they play a lot of up-and-down hockey, does that push advantage Nashville?
I think so. I mean, I don't see how it could not. It's just, the hockey is just so physical. It takes such a toll on you, on your body, and also mentally. And I think Nashville is the fresher team. Now, whether or not how that manifests itself over the course of 6-7 games, which I think this series will ultimately go, that remains to be seen. But yeah, I think at this point Nashville is the fresher team. But at the same time, look, they got to figure out a way to get a win. You know, it's one thing to lose tonight, but you can't lose game three, clearly. Then you're looking into trying to do something historic. So yeah, I think Nashville is the fresher team. But that doesn't mean that they're going to ultimately raise the cup.
Robert Flores, MLB Network. You can watch Robert host MLB Network's MLB Tonight and also NHL Network's NHL Tonight throughout the year. Plus, MLB Network will feature Yankees and Blue Jays tomorrow, 7 p.m. Eastern time. And he's got a really badass Twitter handle at RoFlow. Robert, man, it's good to wake up with you today, man. Thanks so much for doing it. We'll check in again.
Yeah, that sounds good. Thanks for having me.
Robert Flores joining us here on the DA Show on CBS Sports Radio. Good stuff. Tonight, Game 2, Stanley Cup Final from Western PA. Western PA, of course, the home of incredible football legends, icons, Hall of Famers, champions. Not normally the same thing said on Long Island. However, we do have a champion. We do have an icon and a legend who's also known as a wild man, a guy that cannot be contained, cannot be controlled, cannot be caged. That one person would be Mr. Six, one of the most intimidating people ever to play flag football. He turned around and socked Mraz in the nose 2 weeks ago in the middle of their flag football fracas. And he has agreed to join the show on Friday for his equal time. He says his truth needs to be heard, y'all.
He growls as he storms the country, a villain big and bold. And the trees all shake and quiver and quake as he robs them of their gold. The autumn wind is Six, pillaging just for fun. He'll knock you round and upside down and laugh when he's conquered and won.
Mr. Six will join us here on the show Friday morning to tell his side of the story. He is pushing on his social media channels the truth will be heard, y'all. What truth that is, whose truth that is, I can't wait to find out. It'll change all of our lives. When we come back, Tiger Woods dash cam footage is going to be released. Is that going to make Tiger look better or worse? DA, CBS Sports Radio.
New time slot. Same mothership.
And I always think as you're doing the intro, what is it that I can say so that I can be on one of those lasting loops? But I never come up with anything epic enough.
DA on CBS Sports Radio.
What you think about that, DA?
Remember, there are multiple ways for you to listen to the show on your phone. You can download the CBS Sports app. That's a great one for breaking sports news, personalized with your favorite teams, and one-touch streaming of CBS Sports Radio. Also, the TuneIn app, the Radio.com app, or Apple Music, all are streaming The Da and the rest of CBS Sports Radio, which is pretty great. Jack Nicklaus weighed in on Tiger Woods and the DUI arrest. Nicklaus said, quote, "I feel bad for Tiger. Tiger's a friend. He's been great for the game of golf. I think he needs all our help, and we wish him well." It's kind of interesting because Jack Nicklaus knows Tiger more than other people do, and he is suggesting he needs help. He needs all of our help. Bubba Watson told Golf Digest, "We all have our dark places, and Tiger is human, which everybody seems to forget. I think we all are concerned for him as a friend, and we would want to help him in any way that we could. Whatever the cause of what happened to him, we just want him to get better." An anonymous player said, quote, "We're all worried about Tiger. What was he doing at that hour? Why is he taking Vicodin? I thought he said a few days ago he never felt better, but he's taking Vicodin? I just hope this isn't an indication of something a lot more serious." You know, Nicklaus also said when he won the 97 Masters, he was a fairly skinny, supple young man that no matter how he swung it, nothing was going to get in his way. As he got bigger and stronger, I personally think those muscles cause a change in what you do, and you don't have the forgiveness within your body for that. It's very difficult to play golf and do the things he does without a drastic change of his golf swing after a fusion operation. Here's what's interesting. I had a really close friend of mine get a DUI probably now 7, 8, 9 years ago, something like that. And it was a wake-up call for him. It was a wake-up call for everybody. Like, you really got to make sure you take everything seriously when you put that key into that ignition. And yeah, I wanted to be there to support my friend because he was my friend. But I knew what it was. It was a bad decision on a night that he had too much to drink. But I did not come out of that saying, look, I got to make sure my buddy gets help. Because it definitely woke him up. He said, I'm never going to do this again. Number one, I could have killed somebody. I could have killed myself. I could have hurt somebody very seriously. I could have hurt myself. It's total shame. It's total embarrassment. It's really expensive. And it's humiliating to tell your family, your parents, what have you, your friends, your loved ones. So my buddy, it was a wake-up call, and I knew I never had to worry about him doing that ever again. Because I could just see how it was going to affect him and how it was affecting him already. It's weird to have people around Tiger say, I think we all got to look out for him. I think we all need to help him. I think he's in a bad situation right now. I hope this isn't an indication of something more. You know, sometimes guys do stupid things and you go, well, that's the wake-up call they need. What you hear from people on the inside of golf is that we want him to get better. Look, I'm just going to read between the lines here. I think people on tour believe he has a painkiller addiction and that is part of the reason that he is not golfing anymore. That he no longer has the body to create the torque and create the power and create the strength that he used to because it has eroded with tons of injuries. Now, nobody has ever in golf history had the series of injuries Tiger has had. It has never happened. I mean, the guy has blown out basically every joint, every socket, every muscle, every bone, everything, every ligament. He's had shoulder. He's had back. He's had neck. He's had ACL. He's had foot. He's had leg. He's had hip. He's had everything. He's had Achilles. I mean, the guy has ravaged his body And golfers don't do that. Golfers look like your dad. Golfers look like maybe you. Golfers don't look like a guy that has played football for 20 years or an MMA cage fighter that has fought for 20 years. Golfers don't have those injuries. We could speculate on why. I think it is totally fair to speculate about PEDs. The guy was connected to Anthony Galea, who was connected to Alex Rodriguez, who had the nickname Dr. HGH. And Tiger went to him when he was coming back off of knee surgery. So it may have been PEDs. It may also simply have been that Tiger put too much muscle mass on his body to feel more dominant, to feel stronger, to continue to be Tiger, because length was always his great currency. That Tiger put too much weight on a relatively slender and skinny body, and now he's paying the ultimate price for it because now his skeleton is breaking down. Or maybe it was because he became totally obsessed with the military exploit and his dad being in the Navy and training to be a Navy SEAL or having that in his mind. And maybe he put his body through way too much pounding doing those types of exercises to where it'll never be the same. Whatever the case is, his body at 41 is like somebody's body at 71 having played football. There was a story, an incredible story in Sports Illustrated last week about Nick Bonaconte. This is a Hall of Fame linebacker that played on the 72 Dolphins, played in the 60s and 70s when it was rough and tumble and it was hard on your body and artificial turf and we didn't know about concussions. And he made it until his 70s before his body really started breaking down and his mind went. Tiger's body is gone at 41. 41! His body is gone. And I think on tour, there is a significant concern that Tiger, who lost his family, lost his wife, lost his dad, and now lost his golf, is addicted to pain pills. And that's why you hear this. This is not like, hey, you know what? We all make a bad decision every once in a while. You know, you take a bunch of, look, you can have your wisdom teeth pulled out like I did. They give you oxy. They feed you whatever you want. You take it and you're like on planet Zippy. And then you get behind the wheel of a car and you're swerving all over the place. Yeah, that's a bad decision. But if you got a DUI after having your wisdom teeth pulled, nobody would be like, boy, we really need to get this guy help. We hope he won't hurt himself. Let's hope this isn't an indication of something more serious. People will be like, yeah, well, he hasn't really ever taken that before, and so he just didn't know. But people are saying that about Tiger that know him. I think Tiger's lost. Tiger's without golf, Tiger's without structure, Tiger's without his dad, and Tiger is now, I think a lot of people close to him assuming, addicted to pain pills. And the dash cam footage is not going to make this any better because, yes, he blew a 0-0-0, which means he wasn't drinking. But if the guy is mixing three different types of pain meds and overdoing it, and he's slurring his speech, and he's asleep at the wheel, and he's all groggy, and he can't recite the alphabet backwards, and all those other things they were trying to get him to do, that dash cam footage is not going to do him any favors when it finally is released. 855-212-4CBS on Twitter, DA on CBS. When we come back, your best audio of the morning, including our favorite NASCAR fan left behind at the Charlotte Motor Speedway. I'm on turn two. Somebody come get me. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Zapped while the sun is out.
Aw, I love the Da.
DA on CBS Sports Radio.
Full episodes of the Da available on iTunes. Simply search DA CBS Sports Radio and you'll find full episodes. Download them on demand, whether it's your favorite hour, your favorite interview, your favorite segment, or all of them, all 3 hours every single morning. All shows in their entirety available on demand. That's on iTunes and our website, daoncbs.com. Sounds like Mr. Six joining the show on Friday morning is right now gaining a lot of traction, getting a lot of people excited, and making a lot of people wonder, what does it all mean? Jason tweets in, it's only Wednesday and I can't wait until Friday so I can hear from Mr. Six. Frank in the 209 says, please keep our boy Mraz safe Friday while interviewing Mr. Six. I don't know what to expect. I have learned that the Flag Football League has reached out to Mraz. Sounds like there has become quite the controversy that has bubbled on the message board and on the league Facebook page. Right now, what's the temperature of the Long Island Football Flag Football League?
I think nervous and scared for the infrastructure of the league that this me versus Mr. Six thing is going to boil over and really give the league a black eye. You know, I think they're worried about some regression here, that Mr. Six is really going to make the league look bad, and I've already made the league look bad, and they will begin to lose teams as far as register.
It's amazing because on Friday there was the ultimate news dump. We know that news organizations, if they're going to fire a manager, if they're going to cut somebody, if they're going to do something that they know is publicly unpopular, they will news dump it on Friday at 5 o'clock so that people get out of work. They go home for the weekend. News organizations aren't picking it up. There's no weekday news cycle, and they're hoping by the time we hit the skids on Monday or come back to work on Monday that it is kind of blown over. The Long Island Flag Football League did exactly this on Friday at 5 o'clock. I do not make this up. They announced that Mr. Six was suspended for a game and that Mraz got an off the bench violation warning, and that his next violation would result in suspension. Remember, this was nearly a full week after the incident. The incident had happened the previous Saturday. They waited until Friday at 5 o'clock to announce it, and this was the only league news announced at the time. That what happened with Mraz admitting this whole thing and talking about this whole episode that took place started to rattle the cage of the powers that be at the Long Island Flag Football League to where they felt like they had to do something, but they knew it was an unpopular thing and they didn't want it to get more news traction, so they news dump it on Friday at 5 o'clock. Stop me when I'm lying, Mraz.
No, I got into a conference call. This is how ridiculous this is. It was like meeting with Goodell. I'm in a conference call with two league officials and they're taking it so serious. I'm like, I got punched in the face playing flag football. We're in like a conference call as if I'm Pac-Man Jones after a Vegas trip with Goodell, and they basically told me, and Flood, the quarterback, got a warning as well. No pushing and shoving. So we are on the hot seat. We have to play, you know, very tight in the playoffs. Otherwise, we both could get suspended. But Six has served his technical foul suspension, if you will, for knocking my schnoz out.
Six.
He served it on Saturday.
Sunday. Yeah, he served it on Sunday. His team also lost the fall to 5-3 without him. So they knocked back to the 3 seed, I believe. So, yeah, a lot going on. And now with everybody clear of suspensions, we open up wild card round of the playoffs this Sunday. And if both us and them win, we will meet for the division title game the following Sunday.
Wow.
A lot of storylines here.
So right now, if the small blocks with Mr. Six, led by Mr. Six, win on Saturday, and the young guns led by you and quarterback Flood win on Saturday.
Sunday.
We are set up for a Mraz versus Mr. Six playoff game the following weekend.
The following weekend, yeah. For all the Coronas, if you will.
Could you imagine the interest in that game? I mean, that would definitely be the Sunday night primetime game.
You would think, I'm thinking a capacity crowd of 150 people, I think is what we're looking at there.
You know Michaels and Collinsworth is going to get that game.
Yeah, I would. Michaels might sit down and give it to Tirico, though. I don't know.
Six.
Oh, man. This is going to be amazing. Mr. Six joins us Friday morning here on the show. In his words, to quote, tell that truth, y'all. The truth will be heard, y'all. Let's get to sound check.
CBS presents this program in color.
An educated person can't think he's going to get a recruit by strippers coming in.
They can fire you, but they can't eat you.
And they run through our ass like through a tin horn, man, and we could not stop them.
The audio you need to hear. It's DA Soundcheck.
Albert Pujols on the verge of 600 home runs, hit 599 last night.
Keep telling you guys, numbers are numbers, and I think I'm going to have plenty of time, but my main goal is to try to win a championship here and to try to do whatever I can to help this ball club every night, day in and day out.
Albert Pujols has now been in Anaheim for 5 years. Been a long 5 years. He's 37 years old. He's still got 5 years left. I mean, yikes. This guy is just, he's got 4 years left. He's been there 5 years. This is his year number six. He's got 4 years left after this. He's obviously breaking down. We knew that at 37 years old, late 30s, he would be breaking down. We knew at the time of the contract, it seemed ridiculous to sign a 32-year-old Albert Pujols to a 10-year deal. How about this? Next year at 38, he's going to be making $27 million from the Angels. At 39 in 2019, $28 million. At age 40 in 2020, $29 million. And at age 41 in 2021, $30 million coming to Albert Pujols. He's still got basically $115 million coming to him over the next 4 years after this one. Good luck with that, Artie Moreno. Nick Saban at SEC Spring Meetings believes we are, quote, using a sledgehammer to kill a fly with the new December signing rules.
I also think that there's some things that are really important, like player safety rules. Those are important things that can benefit the game and benefit the player. But I'm not sure about, changing the recruiting calendar. I'm not really sure about, this whole high school coach thing and employment in camp and a lot of the things that, sometimes we take a sledgehammer to kill a fly and it has some unintended consequences, which we may see here sometime in the future.
Yeah, Nick Saban's always worried about unintended consequences. Why? Because for him, status quo is great. He's got the number one recruiting classes every year. He's got the modern dynasty. Upsetting the apple cart now, changing anything that's happening in college football now, only means it might mean he gets knocked off of the mountaintop. So anything along those lines, no. Let's take a wait-and-see approach. Let's take the long view here. There might be unintended consequences. Meantime, Jim Harbaugh takes his team to Florida for a satellite camp. Nick Saban's like, let's not wait. We've got to do something right now. We've got to change the rules right now. This is illegal. Don't let Harbaugh do that. It's funny when Saban wants immediate action and then other times wants to, hey, let's take the long approach on this. There might be unintended consequences here. And finally, the story of the day. WBTV in Charlotte from the Charlotte Motor Speedway. A fine young woman. It happened to be left behind after the Coke 600.
Oh, you expect people to leave cans and normal garbage, but carpets, tarps, living room furniture, a perfectly good ice chest here, but empty. And what's this?
There's a swimming pool in between two porta-johns.
Let's not speculate about that.
You name it, we found it. It's out there.
But just when you thought you'd seen everything that people could drive off without, well, here's Jody Nash.
And they left me too?
That's right. When she woke up, her friends were gone.
Hey, Mom, I'm okay. I'm still here in turn two.
And hoping those friends remember.
Y'all can get me.
She did find a tent someone left behind, so at least she's got a place to stay tonight if need be, she said. For Jody, well, at last check, she was still waiting, but thought someone would be along soon.
I'm hanging. Turn two.
At the Charlotte Motor Speedway, Steve Onisorge, WBTV, on your side.
Only Steve-O. And good news is we just got word that the woman that was just there, left stranded at the Speedway, did find a way back home.
Jody Allen hopped in the back of a pickup truck. Bunch of strangers she didn't know, I'm sure. Rode all the way home with a Bud Light in her hand. That was the best part when she said, hey, Mom, I'm on turn two. She actually had a Bud Light in her hand at that time.
How many beers ago? Probably 1,000.
Just perfect. And that's your sound check. You know, I think after we book Mr. Six on the show Friday, Jody needs to come on the show next week.
Hey, Mom, I'm okay. I'm still here in turn two.
Oh, good. Okay, just wanted to make sure. Wait a second. Is that Jody over there that I see him on television? That doesn't look like Jody. Did she go to the race on Saturday? Hey, Ma! Did Jody go to the race on Saturday?
How annoying must she have been for everybody to pack up and go, she's out like a light. We got to get out of here now. Leave her behind.
Get out of here. She might have been a sack of potatoes, too. She might have just been out, and they tried to get her up, and she just wasn't moving, and then somebody tried to move her, and it was like, okay, we're moving like a corpse right now. Just leave her. I can't carry her.
How can you leave somebody at essentially a stadium? I could just go, well, you're going to pass out here in the infield. We're good.
There was a pool in between the port-a-johns, so maybe they just felt like she was going to be okay.
And did the news crews know that she was there when they rolled up to go, we got to check out this mess. Oh, wait, there's a woman drinking a Bud Light in the infield.
Everybody's gone except employees, except this one woman who's just crushing a Bud Light right now next to the porta potties. Have you ever woken up somewhere where you didn't know where you were? You were like, how did I get here?
No, never in my life. I can honestly say, I'm trying to think, unless I didn't remember waking up, but no, never in my life.
I have definitely had the nights where you wake up and go, what happened?
Yeah, the what happened, but usually you find yourself in some sort of familiar area.
I've definitely had those where I'm like, oh, wow. I'll tell you the last time that it happened, it was terrifying. A couple of years ago, a grandma on my cousin's side turned 80, so at her 80th birthday, and this was on the side of my family from Eastern Europe, so this was like the Slovaks, Russian side. And I had been out watching the NBA playoffs earlier in the day, so I had a couple of beers over lunch, and then we went over to Grandma's 80th. Well, at Grandma's 80th, there was just all you can drink Russian wine at this Russian restaurant. And it was a Sunday, and that was Sunday of Giants Cowboys week one, I think 2 years ago.
Right, it was an NBA playoffs. I remember this. This is when I was in Dallas for the Giants Cowboys.
So I go over to Grandma's 80th. And it's at this great Russian restaurant. It's catered, and they just keep filling up my wine glass. And I'm like, okay, well, let's keep having the Russian wine. And then there's dinner, which was very good, but the Russian wine keeps getting filled up, and the waiters keep just filling up your glass. As soon as it's like half done, fill it up again. Then there was a DJ. Then I believe I gave a speech. And then, who knows, because my brother and sister brought me home, I was out like a light. Who knows? I mean, I'm out on my feet, okay? So, luckily, I didn't drive or anything like that, so they just drove me home. I wake up the next morning, I'm like, whoa. I remember the NBA playoffs at 3 o'clock. I kind of remember Grandma's 80th. I don't remember much after that. Wait a second, I missed the entire Sunday night football game. I woke up and checked my phone. I'm like, what happened in that game? What time is it? Is this the night? Is this the morning? What happened? I said, damn it, the Russian wine got me. It jumped up and bit me like a snake. So you had to fill me in. I had to watch it on replay. I had to watch it on DVR to make sure I could talk about it the next day on the air. I said, damn it, Grandma, the 80th Grandma birthday party, Russian wine got me. You know, you don't know when it's going to come get you, but it's going to come get you. So I feel like I was Jody Allen on the infield, the Coca-Cola 600, the Coke 600. I got the Russian wine treatment.
There's a swimming pool in between two port-a-johns.
I would have loved to have my speech on tape. I wonder if that was really good.
That probably could be on America's Funniest Home Videos. By the way, Mr. Six just messaged me.
Oh, is that right?
Literally right now.
Okay.
Heard y'all been talking about me.
Oh, no.
Any news on what time you need me Friday?
Oh, wow.
Heard y'all been talking about me. Again, okay. With the y'all.
Okay, so this is big news because on Friday we also have Anthony Michael Hall in studio. Yes, that Anthony Michael Hall, the original Rusty Griswold, is going to join us in studio, Anthony Michael Hall. So what time is that, Mraz?
10 a.m. Eastern.
10 until 10:30 Eastern.
Yeah, we'll play a little 10 questions with Anthony Michael Hall.
So let's
First hour, got complete NBA Finals reaction from Game 1. Friday's going to be a packed show.
Okay, so we've got Game 1 NBA Finals to react to. Then Anthony Michael Hall, for a half hour, and then Mr. Six. So why don't we plug Mr. Six in?
11:20 a.m. before a little Target demo? Or,
yeah? Well.
Or 11 a.m. in case things get hairy?
Yeah.
All right.
Top of the 11.
Top of the 11. We'll reset the NBA Finals. Maybe we'll do like 11:07 with Mr. Six.
Yes. 11:07. That sounds good.
11, all right.
11 a.m., Mr. Six, drop it on by. Because we've got to give the first hour to the NBA Finals. Then we have to give most of the second hour outside of, if not all of the second hour, outside of Anthony Michael Hall to the NBA Finals. And then hour number three has to be about Mr. Six's interview and what goes off the rails, what happens, what he says. I've now seen Mr. Six's Facebook page, and it's no laughing matter. This is a man with a plan. And I sent him a what I thought a professional message of if he would like to join us because he had blocked Mraz. He then took my message, screenshotted it, and then started posting it all over the Facebook pages and the message boards and the Instagram, basically mocking me. The truth will be heard, y'all. Friday, 11 a.m. Eastern time. Be here. When we come back, how many Cavs and Dubs NBA Finals are we going to see in a row? DA, CBS Sports Radio.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.